Esther Perek Vav.
Balayla hu nadada shenat ha-melech.
Indeed, this is the watershed of the Megillah, the ikar nes of the Megillah. This is the point at which everything changes, and yet, in a sense, nothing changes. First, we're talking about balayla hu. Of course, that balayla hu is the most famous of nights. That is Leil Pesach, the very night of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being yotze balayla hu, balayla hazeh, makat bechorot, all of the various things that happen on that particular night, and in conjunction with our diuk of Mordechai ben Ish Yimini, Ish Yodi, Ish Yimini, where we found that what he was doing was the tikkun of one leg of the Netzach V'Hod of the Gidon HaSher problem, and that he was being Mechaber Yisrael and Yehuda, and the Aseret HaShvatim, approach the Aseret HaShvatim to the approach of Yehuda between him and Esther together. It's a remarkable medrash, really remarkable, in which the medrash points out there are four places where it says Balaylahu. All four of them are Balayl Pesach, and remarkably, two of them are for B'nai Rachel, and two of them are for B'nai Leah. An amazing thing for the medrash to be aimed on. This is exactly what we're talking about over here. This is Lekayem Mashe Ne'emar, Ulalavan Shte Banot, Shtehen Shekulot. I mentioned this overall medrash in the Hanukkah book in great detail, the way in which the two have precisely the same type of issues that come from them. And just like the Shkulot Zukezu, that both from both of them, Yizu V'Nizu, Amdu Melachim, Mizu Amdu Nevi'im, Mizu Amdu Nevi'im. So you have two Leilot Shal Pesach, where there were Nisim. We have Vayi B'chatzi Alayla, which was Leil Pesach, that was Moshe, that was B'nai Bonayal, Shal Le'a. And then you have the Nes of Yatsa Malach Hashem Ayach B'machane Ashur. That was the Nes of Sancheirin. That was Leil Pesach as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends that Malach, Oto Alayla Leil Pesach Ayah Nasa Nes for Chizkiyo, again B'nai Bonayal Shal Le'a. Two Nisim that were done by Leil Pesach. For Banel Shel Rachel, that was Gidon. Kum Reid B'machane, that was Leil Pesach. That was the Tzlil Lechem Sorim, because it was the Omer. That was Karev Pesach. That's exactly what Mordechai, we're going to find, finding in the course of this parak, was being Osek in. Because, naturally, it has to be the day of the Hakravata Omer that they're going to be Osek in, because Haman is going to be killed on the day of the Psikat Haman, which was Haman, which was the day of Hakravat HaOmer. So he's being Isaac in the Hakravat HaOmer, where they eat the man until the day of the Hakravat HaOmer. So all this works out. So what happens? So Gideon, who is Bibnei Bnei Asher Rachel, and we have Achad Bimei Mordechai, who is Bnei Bnei Asher Rachel, and therefore it says, Balayla, who that was Nadadash Natamelech for that Chibur. Of course, there's also the other Laila, which also, the Maisa, is the Laila of the Brit with Avram Avinu. And it says that Balayla Nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvram Avinu was that Laila. We had the whole Bris with Yitzchak and so on. Takes place on Pesach. Now this is Shekenu Rabbi Yotzeoto HaChutza, taking Avram Avinu outside at night and showing him the world from the outside so that he can gain the perspective that he needs to become, for take the first step of becoming Yisrael. These are all elements of Balayla that have to do with, specifically, strangely, Laila, which you would think that the main Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power place is in the day when everything is Bahir, and yet, as another Medrash points out, Kesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu said din im HaRishayim, it's always B'chosh. It's like Rishayim HaVayibu Machashach Ma'asehem are always at night, so too Midas HaDin is really Keneged Laila. And therefore, when he's Eisad Din, it's the always Nizgala in the Laila. That's particularly poignant here, because the whole question of what is going on is Hester, Choshech. Esther is being related to Tohu, where the Gemara says that Tohu is indeed a Kav Yarok, that's the green light, Shemimenu Yotze Choshech. And therefore, the time of Choshech is specifically the time in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nes. Now, in this night, it says, Nadada Shnat HaMelech. The Nadada means that there was a shaking, so to speak. And that was, says the Medrash, everybody. Nadada, first Hamelach, we know, is a reference to Medrash Tanchuma, says always reference to HaKadosh Baruch. Doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch, who doesn't sleep, the creation of the Maron. But when Yisrael Ochotim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ki'ilu Yashen, and that's the Inyan of Hesed. We find that in the Pasuk, where we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ura Lamatishan. Why are you sleeping? And that's part of the Hesed. Our perception of God not being present, and yet when Yisrael Orosim, Ritzalo Shamakon, and it's not a Zman of Hesed, Hinei Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. So that means that this is a moment in which Yisrael indeed is still searching for Tikkun, and we'll see that there was not yet a sense of having a despite the fact of the watershed and the sudden turn of fortune that the parak describes, nothing has changed in the mind of Mordechai or in the mind of Yisrael until the conclusion. And so we find that everyone here isn't sleeping, so that Bnei Yisrael aren't sleeping, obviously. The Malachi Asharis aren't sleeping, so to speak, as it says, even the Arelim, the strongest, the greatest. Obviously, Achashverosh, he was and sleeping, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him sleep. This Russia is going to sleep when my children are up and worried. No way. And it was through, Davka, through what was happening in the course of the night, when you think, okay, Esther said, all right, we'll meet tomorrow. Nothing was going to happen in the middle of the night. Everybody's fast asleep, but that's exactly when everything happened. So here it was, in the middle of the night, and the king, says the Gemara, is terrified because he can't figure out what the heck just happened. I think we would feel exactly the same way. What just happened? You know, 5 hours ago, I was perfectly comfortable. Everything was normal. All of a sudden, she's back in my life. And not only is she back in my life, and I figured we're finally going to figure out what this is all about. Now she's got me sitting here on the edge of my seat waiting for tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? And she invites this Haman character. I know that that guy's getting too big for his britches. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, on the other hand, he says, but look, I mean, he's got so many enemies. Obviously, somebody would have told me if something's afoot, right? I mean, there's a palace, but wait, what if somebody has told me something in the past and I was never responsive? So they don't get anything out of telling me anything. Ah, that would be a disaster. My only way out of this is to figure out, was there anyone ever who did something for me that I didn't reward? If I make a big show of that reward, like, thus shall be done to the man. Yeah, that kind of thing. That sounds good. Then maybe someone will come forward and let me know what that guy is planning. I'm sure it's him. There's no question about it. Why would she invite him to both? And, of course, at that moment, and so, of course, everything begins to gel. So here we are with the Melech being very confused. Nadada means you could just be shaken. So everything is like he's moving back and forth. Nadada is literally this question going back and forth in his mind. You can feel it like a seesaw. Nadada, right? Nadada shnata Melech. So he says, look, you know, let me review the event. See why, indeed, nobody would be giving me the paranoid. No, I mean the perfectly. Just because I believe everybody's against me doesn't mean I'm paranoid. And he says, okay, we'll bring the Sefer HaZichronot, Divrei HaYamim. Now, of course, this was the very Sefer HaZichronot that the secretary, who was Haman's son, this was Shemesh, I was trying to erase. And as the Gemara says, but it kept being rewritten. And he would erase the story of Mordechai. And every time they opened it up, there it was again. And sure enough, they open it up, and it begins to read itself. Yud Nikraim. Aha. So it begins to read itself with Nehamelach. Vayimatzei Katuv. And it was found to have been written. Clearly implies something strange is going on. In other words, it wasn't expected. But it's found. So it's like, well, obviously, someone was doing his darndest to get rid of what it said, and there they found it again. And it's written still. Asher Higid Mordechai Abiktana Vateresh. Way back at the beginning of the story, in what appeared to be a complete non sequitur at the moment, there was this strange event in which Mordechai had been the one who discovered the plot of Biktana Vateresh, Shnei Sirisei HaMelech, Mishamrei HaSaf, Asher Bikshu Lishloach Yad, Bamelech HaKashvera. Here we have a fine example of someone who indeed brought the necessary information. Vayomer HaMelech, so what did we do for him? Ma Na'asa Yekaru Dulala Mordechai Alza. Surely it was taken care of. I mean, the secretary was. Vayomru Nare Amelach Besharatav. Actually, Lo Nasei Mo Davar. Nothing was done for Mordechai. Oh, things begin to make sense. I know who the great antagonist to Mordechai is. Because we know that way back at the beginning, when he made the party, it was Lasot Kretzon Ish Ve'ish. And that were the two people who were called Ish, and that was the Ish Yudi, and then the Ish, that is referred to later as the Ish, which is Haman, by Esther, as we'll see. And he was well aware, which he keeps referring to, Lo Davar Chutzeh Tamachut, please don't put me in the middle of this issue. So it's Haman that's trying to make sure that place never gets built. It's Mordechai with his APAC people. They're driving me absolutely mad. The one thing I don't want to hear anything about is the Lo Davar Chutzeh Tamachut, you know? And I know exactly who must have seen to it that nothing was done for Mordechai, which is exactly why nobody's telling me about the very plot of the guy who made sure that I wouldn't have rewarded Mordechai. Things begin to thicken around here, and at that moment there's a knock, and the king says, who's in the chutz at this time of the night? And of course, Haman had just come into the chutz of Haman. Again, is the ultimate Gilbert and Sullivan. Yes, it's all about that Haman guy. Who is that? Haman! Ah! So the mevechatzer, the Haman balachatzar beit hamelach achitzonah. Of course, there was Haman who was right out there. Lemor lemelach, to tell the king that now would be the perfect moment to hang Mordechai. You couldn't get better timing than that. Litlot et Mordechai ala eitz, right on the tree asher hechin lo, which he had prepared, says the Gemara, for himself. Hechin lo. That's the bor kara. Vayach Poreu, the Russia digs the pit. Vayipo b'shachat yifal, he falls directly into the hole that he himself had prepared. And this, of course, is a reference back to Hechin, which was his name, Nemuchan. We now are beginning to see that all of the necessary twists in the plot were put into perfect position with excellent timing by none other than the guy who believes that he is driving the horse. What do you mean? It's perfect.
No,
he's at the moment of...
What was Haman thinking?
Well, because, I mean, after all, it's all intimacy. I mean, the queen, and only me and the king, and we're all sort of one big happy family. It's the first moment you weren't here the last time. That's why you're asking these questions.
No, I was here.
Well, you don't remember? This was the happiest day of his life in which he really believes that everything is clicked, and now all of his people are telling him there's no more perfect time. Remember, in his mind, everything is time. Exactly as it is in Mordechai's. It's exactly like it's the same idea. He runs a poor. It's all a function of opportunity, time, and tea leaves. As the Gemara points out, obviously the people who said Lo Nasei Mo Davar were sort of stoking the fire. And why would they do that? Says the Gemara, don't worry. They were certainly not doing it because they were friends of Mordechai, but they hated Haman. So this, of course, is part of what Esther has really achieved. And what he's achieved, he's made himself so big that there's no question that nobody is going to back him when it comes to push the shove. So now Esther, all Esther needed to do was give that extra little nudge, because it was clear that if there would be any opening at all, he'd be the first one to go. So what she needed to do was create that. Kenato b'melech, kenato b'sarim. Now everybody hates his guts. And so, Vayomru na'are ha'melech elav, my goodness, behold, it is that Haman. I mean, we didn't mean behold, you weren't thinking about him, were you? Omed bechatzer. The word hinei means that they're completely aware. It's a slip of the tongue. What do you mean hinei Haman? He says, who's Bechatzer? So all you need to say is Haman Bechatzer. Yes, behold Haman. That's the kind of answer which is hinei. In other words, exactly who you suspected would be there. Yes, indeed, it's that Haman guy. That's what the word is, all the way to read the word. Behold! He's right out there. Vayomer HaMelech Yavo. I have it all worked out. Vayavo Haman! And so he comes.
perfectly
confident, thinking nobody could be prepared for him. And indeed, the king plays him so beautifully. You know, I've been thinking, there's someone I truly admire, someone I'd love to honor. But I can't imagine what would be suitable for this guy because he's just so marvelous. What would I do for him, I wonder? If only I could find out what he would be thinking, but I can't. So I'll ask you. You can see that. It's stringing him along, and oh, this guy is falling for it like, I mean, it's the sinker, hooker, it's all, it's gone right down his mouth. So what do I do, says the king? What would I do to a man that I truly wish to honor? And of course, Vayomer Haman Belibo, who might that be? Lemiach puts a melech lasot yikar yoter mimeni. Who would he want to honor? Now, obviously, he's saying it's the guy that he wants to honor. I mean, he's already honored me with anything possible. So it's just like another step. Why, I'm almost the king. Vayomer Haman la melech. Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, how could you actually? What you'd really have to do is give the sense of the kingdom being in his hands, a man like that. I mean, Ish asher ha-melech hafetz b'yikaro. I would suggest yavil levush malchut asher lavash bo ha-melech. I don't mean just pretty clothes. I mean the king's actual clothes. V'sus asher rachav alav ha-melech. The horse. Now the horse, as Rabbanea has not tired of telling us about Persian horses, was the centerpiece of it. It's a shame I forgot to bring the picture, but I'll put it up on the site. I mean, from age seven. But the horse was the most potent symbol there of the Malchut, and we actually have a very nice frieze of the horse of Ahasuerus getting ready with the servants, with the golden stool for him to stand on, to get onto his horse. I mean, it's really quite an impressive scene.
They have beautiful animals.
You know, but they particularly, they built their entire, their hierarchy of the structure around horses. And so I think that horse, and I mean, not just that the king rode on it, it would have to have Obama's own president. I mean, the Keter Malchut, we can't let that fall off. Ashenitan Keter Malchut Perosho. And the one that had actually had the king's crown on it to indicate that it was the royal horse. Vinaton halavush vasus. Now you'll notice it doesn't say anything about the crown, but that's because, say Chazal, Ahasuerus wasn't able to hold it in. When he mentioned the crown, his eyes popped open. Haman said, whoops, I didn't mean the crown part, but just the clothes and the horse. So he was playing him very well, but he was unable to control himself perfectly. But all of this just ties right into what he believes. I see. The clothing of the king. Not clothing like a king. The clothing of the king. I did hear you. Yes. Not a nice horse suited for a king. The king's horse. Is that, yes, the king's horse. With the royal crown on the horse. No, I didn't mean that. And so, Vinatan ala vujva yisus. Ayadei ish misarei ha-melech ha-partamim, and bring one of the greatest representatives of the king and the governors, and let him actually robe the man. And he'll be sure at ha-ish asher ha-melech ha-feitz b'yikaro, v'hirkivu ala sus b'rechov ha-ir, and let everyone know by carrying him all around town on this horse, with this man leading the horse, with the herald in front, v'karulafanav, asher hamelech hafeitz b'yikaro. Thus is what is done to a man whom the king wishes to honor. I think that might be a good beginning. Vayomer hamelech la'aman. Yes, that is actually a wonderful idea. I'm so glad I asked your opinion about this. Why don't we do just that? Yes. Maher kachet alavush v'tasus kasher dibarta. Take exactly what you had said, and you be the guy who is the partamim misarei hamelech. V'aseichen lemordechai. Mordechai says, which Mordechai? Mordechai Yehudi. King, you may not know, but Mordechai is probably the most typical name among us Jews. There's millions of them. I mean the one I hear shave Bishar HaMelech is the one I'm referring to. To which Haman replies, well, yes, quite a lovely fellow, but perhaps we could give him a city or something for him to rule over, or perhaps a bridge for him to take taxes from. Yes, says the king, that's a wonderful idea. Add that. Alta Pildavar Mikola Shedibar. I have the whole thing from beginning to end. I think they're all wonderful ideas. And so he takes the clothing, the royal clothing, the king's horse. Remember, we said before what the remnants is of the king's horse being the whole question of the world being similar to a horse representing horse power, just a simple way in which one measures energy that's put out, which is amazing. Ada Yom Hazeh, we literally use that same measurement of energy being put out, but it has no direction whatsoever. It's just unvectored energy, which then requires the rochev. And this is exactly what the whole idea of the Purim is. You're doing amazing things. And the question is, of course, how they will be utilized and how they'll be hooked up and so on. That's the question. And in having asked specifically for the Lugi Sus, remember the Medrash, that wherever it says HaMelech, without further explanation, it's a reference to, on one level, Melech Bacheyam Lachim. Well, there's only one Sus Shamelech Rochev Alav, and that's the nature of the universe itself. The ultimate Sus Shamelech Rochev Alav, and then it will be guided as it needs to be. And so Haman takes the Levush, Sus, Vayal Beishit Mordechai, and he has to get Mordechai dressed, and here the Gemara tells us about all the poor, sad Haman, in which he has to go, and he finds Mordechai, and he finds him teaching the Hilchos Kmitza, because it was the dinim of the Omer that was going to be brought in the day. So he was preparing, and Mordechai sees Haman coming with the horse. He figures he's going to be led to execution. He tells the Rabbanan to get away because, you know, you don't want to be caught in this guy, in this moment of my falling into the hands of Haman. And Haman goes over to him and asks him, "So, what are you guys doing?" So he says to him, "Well, what we're doing is actually, it used to be that we had a din of kmitza, the mincha, and, you know, it was just one handful of solet." Yeah, he says, "Well, that's really cute because, you know, I paid 10 million shkolim for this, you know, and I guess your handful was worth a lot more than that. Damn it. Come with me." He says, "What, are you kidding?" says Mordechai. "I'm supposed to look what I look like. I'm unshaven, haven't taken a shower in 2 days, in the middle of a tanit. I'm not even going to go on the sus. Shamelech rochev alav, it would be an insult to the king." Meanwhile, of course, Esther has sent around an immediate command from the palace to see to it that all public baths and barbershops be shut. This is the war. So Haman tries to figure out where he can get him a shower and a shave, and there's nowhere to go. So he has to do it. And he's sitting there, and Gemara says he's sitting there, and he's moaning and crying. And Haman says, Mordechai says to him, what's the big deal? He says, the greatest man in the kingdom should be reduced to being a barber and a bath attendant. "Oh, you idiot," says Mordechai to him. "You think I don't know that for 22 years you were the barber in Kfar Karbs?" He finishes this, and there's all kinds of gory details, because he says, "Okay, now you're clean, now you look good. Get up on the horse." "How am I supposed to get up on the horse?" You realize, "I don't even have the energy to stand." So Haman bends down and says, "Step on me and get up on the horse." So
it's a nice touch.
So Mordechai steps on him and gives him a kick in the rear. So he says to him, "You know, even you should have enough sensitivity. Bin fol oivecha al tisach. Don't be happy when your enemy falls." Says Mordechai, "Wait a minute. That's referring to Jew. When it comes to people like you, it says, ata abomoteu tidroch. You will step on their high places." Another kick in the rear. So, okay, all the little pieces are really cute in place. And so Haman goes and he walks around, v'kach hamanat alavush v'tasus, v'yalbeshet Mordechai, v'yarkiveu berchov v'yir, v'yikra lefanav kocha ye'aseh le'ish asher ha'melech hafetz b'yikaro. And as the Gemara explains, we find in the next pasuk, v'yoshov Mordechai al shar ha'melech, Mordechai goes right back to where he was, v'haman nitchaf, driven into his house, avel v'chafui rosh, miserable with his head covered. Now, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Avel v'chafui rosh, what does that mean? Well, what happened was, you see, he had to go through the entire city. One of the streets of the city was Haman Lane. So as he was walking down Haman Lane, and all the noise and the people and everything is going, his daughter is convinced, aha! So the moment of killing Mordecai is here, and Mordecai is probably dragging Dad around, making him choshev kacha yasela ish. So she runs up to the roof, holding a chamber pot of the morning's passings, and as he walks by, pours the whole thing down on the guy on the horse. But then, walking the horse, figuring that's got to be Mordecai, and of course it's Haman. So now she looks up to see who did that. It's his daughter. She sees, oh no, it's my father. She jumps off the roof, commits suicide. Yeah. So he's both an avel and chafui. Getting back to the beginning of the pasuk, Vayashav Mordechai al Shar HaMelech seChazal. What this means is Vayashav back to where he was. That he was shav l'sako l'ta'anito. Nothing had changed. There's two elements that are important in that. Very important. But the whole thing seems to be sort of a weird kind of story that isn't really necessary for the watershed. Because the turnabout is turnabout in fortune. That could have just been affected in terms of who is considered to be greater in the kingdom, who gets more power. I mean, this again, the farce, as it often, doesn't really interest Mordechai. That's clear. In other words, this means nothing to me. He's back where he was. It matters very much to Haman, but we've seen that all along. When Haman exists, his entire life is built around the perceptions of others and the covet that he's going to be got. To Mordechai, what happened, first of all, has no personal implications whatsoever. Goes back as if it made no difference. That's essential for us to know, that the interaction between Mordechai and Haman had nothing of the personal in it at all, as far as Mordechai was concerned. Whereas to Haman, it was entirely personal. He couldn't care in the least whether he was more chashev than Haman, less chashev than Haman. He really and truly stood for what he stood, not for the individual against Haman. But more importantly, both of these people were following the dictates of Pur, which is random, the need to take advantage of the situation as it is instantly. That didn't lead Mordechai to say, as anybody would have said today, well, fortunes have changed. God has clearly done this most amazing thing, and now we can be assured of being saved. No way. That's not true. It relates very much to the way that people, today, when we have the whole spirit of the Six-Day War was exactly this. There was a gezeirah of hashmada. Remember what was going on, building graveyards to be able to take all of the casualties and so on and so forth. The moment there was a turnaround, it's back to normal. It's like, now there's nothing to worry about. Everything is great. Now we can send around that idiot with his patch to tell the Arabs, we want you, stay, we need you, it's great, everything's going to be wonderful. Of course, certainly. Yeah, keep the keys, no problem. That's exactly what Mordechai didn't do. Everything is exactly as Toluiva Omeid, because we're not necessarily looking at anything as far as he's concerned. All I see is a chain. That's all I see. But the same umiodea is still meaningful to him. I don't know what is going to happen. Now, we'll see in this particular Nakuda a very important difference between Mordechai and Haman, even though the Megillah is bringing out more and more how similar the behavior patterns of both of them were. See, because both of them, we think it's tremendous paradigm change. To us, it was paradigm change. To the man who thought up poor, it's not a paradigm change at all. It's exactly the way that he lives. So the fact that he would come out early in the morning, as Moshe pointed out, of course he comes out early in the morning. That's the first opportunity. As soon as I can act on something, I need to act on it. Exactly the same way that when Esther came back and said, couldn't we do a better job by planning it? No, this is the moment. Who knows what will be in another 10 minutes? Maybe Achashverosh will get suspicious. Maybe people will be so upset at me that they'll gain his ear. Now is the time. Again, not thinking, as most people don't think, that Lila is the time you have to worry about. Everybody figures at night things are calm, and in the morning business begins. When you go to sleep at night and a thing is in a particular situation, if it's not in a global economy, you don't worry about it until the morning. We're used to the idea that there is no night. But if there is a night, that's the time that, okay, things are more or less solid. The Balailu Nadadat Shat HaMelech violated that entire assumption, and that's why he still felt that I am now acting instantly, unless night's advice.
My hair. That's what he says, my hair.
He exactly. He wants it to be done. Everything needs to be done. Maher, as the Medrash points out. All of the nefil of it goes back to the ego. It's a different kind of maher. And watch the difference when he now speaks to his wife. Vayisaper haman lezeresh ishto. Note the change in the way that he speaks to his wife. Before, he spoke to Chachamav and Zeresh ishto. Now he speaks to Zeresh ishto first, and then it's to his friend. Now, that could be because of the fact that she was the one who spoke up with the Eitzel Lechatchila, or because of the fact that he needs someone to protect him. He's beginning to feel the relationship to the bayit that Zeresh is providing. And remarkably, Zeresh turns out to be, as the Gemara points out, here it says, L'chol Ohavav, and he says over, Et kol asher karohu, says over all of the things that have happened to him. Vayomra lo chachamav, says the Gemara, look at the change. First it's Ohavav, where he's looking for support. And suddenly, as the Gemara points out, when somebody says something intelligent, no matter who he is, you can refer to him as a Chacham. Because these people, and Zeresh ishto, no longer acted as Ohavav. They told it to him as it is. But as it is, wrongly, because there's a diak here. So Vayomra lo chachamav v'Zeresh ishto, let me tell you something. The watershed has taken place, and you've begun to collapse. You don't have a chance. What we are looking at is a pattern. Now, this is precisely the difference between Mordechai's understanding of the nature of the poor, the nature of the randomness in what's happening, is that it's an expression of the Yichud Hashem, and Haman's understanding of looking for synchronicity, patterns, and same patterns. They always have, right? So, kinafol tipolafanav, according to Zeresh, all that she could see was the pattern. And that definitely, there's no chance. You're now on the descendant. Exactly the kind of thing an astrologer would tell you. On the descendant. Your sign is on the descendant. So even though she puts this into it, according to the Gemara, she puts it into an understanding of the nature of Yisrael. So that on the one hand, Yisrael is compared to the Kochavim, and the other hand, they're compared to the Afar. You know, it looks like they're going up, in which case you're going to be down in the Afar. But look at the difference in the reaction of the Mordechai and of the Zeresh. One very striking thing is the difference between the way in which Zeresh and the friends of Mordechai, who now have become his Chachamav, perceive what has happened. And there's two very important things. One is that he has no inclination that he's in mortal danger. To him, the question is it Mordechai or me? It's Mordechai asher achilot lefanav. I mean, this is really not about Mordechai. So we spoke about the way in which the plot is intertwined between the story of Esther and Achashverosh on the one hand, and Mordechai and Haman on the other hand. We've already seen that the plots have intersected because we see where it's going. He doesn't see it. So as far as he's concerned, there's absolutely no relationship between the overall plot, which is the relationship of Esther and Achashverosh, and the particulars about whether he's going to come on top in his particular imut with Mordechai, which has been all along highly personal. So that even though he understands that the Jewish question, it hasn't been carried out yet, as far as he's concerned, that's a settled issue. Mordechai anyway is kaput. That's not the point. I mean, the Jews are kaput. When he went, and that's Michtav Shadichtav, Michtav Amelach, Venechtam, Bechatol Amelach, Ein Lashiv, there's no way to take back those letters. That's clear in his mind. And what he was doing now in going over to Mordechai and saying, now you learned your lesson? And that's when Mordechai is Lokam Velozami Menu. That's where it becomes highly personal. This is now the entire issue. Is Mordechai going to come out on top in the hierarchy in the palace, or are you? Which is an incredibly limited way of seeing the entire thing. To the extent that it's actually a machlokas in the Gemara, whether there was an understanding on Zeresh's part that there was an issue over here of Zera HaYehudim. Because the truth is, Imi Zera HaYehudim Mordechai doesn't make any sense. What does that supposed to mean? Imi Zera HaYehudim? I thought that was the whole issue. Vayivez v'yenav v'shloach yad v'mordechai levado k'yigidu lo et am Mordechai. But what are you saying? Imi Zera HaYehudim. So one way of understanding it is just that it's a comment on the nature of Yisrael, which is one mandiyam, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Berbi Loi, darshins it in the Gemara to mean that it's a statement of, look, If he's Jewish, forget it. We don't have a chance, because it's true that you may have been on the ascendant, because as we mentioned, umazunim shalula kochavim, and it's osnim shalula afar, kishem yordim yordim ad la afar. So while you were on the ascendant, it looked okay. But kishem olim em olim ad kochavim, and then you don't have a chance. How are you going to be able to fight him? But that would mean that it isn't asher achilotel in pol lifanav, it's just the way in which the Yehudim issue would affect Mordechai, which is why another Ma'adiyom in the Gemara says, imizera ha-Yehudim is a reference to Shevet Yehuda. Meaning, if he comes from the other Shvatim, okay. But if he comes from Yehuda, where it says, yatcha ba'oref oivecha, or for that matter, if he comes from, and here it says Ephraim, Binyamin, Menashe, because over there it says in the Pasuk, Lifnei Ephraim, Binyamin, Menashe, Ora et Gevuratecha. So that would have to be the Zera Yehudim that are around us. If he's a member of one of those, we're in trouble. But then it would be a reference specifically to Mordechai.